Today is Ascension Sunday. If we can sum up the message of the Lord's Ascension with one sentence, it is that the Lord will surely come again as he ascended into heaven. That is what we are going to look at today. The first part of today's scripture, which is verses 1 through 5, is the continuation of John's description of the New Jerusalem, which we looked at last Sunday. John is now inside the city and continues to describe for us what he sees and hears. Let's look at a few more observations that John makes about the New Jerusalem. First, there is the river of the water of life. Verse 1 begins, "Then the angels showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb." As John writes, this river flows out of the throne of God and the Lamb. Its source is God and Jesus Christ himself. So there is no limit to its richness. John describes this water of life as clear as crystal, which represents the power, the purity, and the eternal life that is present in the heavenly city. It is a symbol of eternal life. It is a symbol of the indwelling Holy Spirit who gives us eternal life. Jesus, during his earthly ministry, spoke of this living water that was available to anyone through faith in him. In John chapter 4, Jesus first mentioned about the living water to the Samaritan woman during the conversation with her. Jesus said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Later in John chapter 7, Jesus proclaimed about the living water in a much unexpected way. When Jesus went up to Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles. According to the liturgy of the feast, on the last day of the feast, it lasts usually a week, and on the last day of the feast, the priest went into the courtyard and recited out loud Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. "You will draw water with joy from the wells of salvation." That's the Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. After that, the priest takes a water jar and pours water in front of the altar. At this moment, highlight of the feast, the crowd is watching the priest in silence. But in this stillness, Jesus suddenly stood and declared with a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. It's in John chapter 7. The river of water of life in New Jerusalem is a symbol of our eternal life that was given to us when we confess our sins and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I believe this will be a real river in the New Jerusalem to constantly remind us that our salvation, our eternal life, was a gift from God through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Amen. Our confirmants, we covered this today. Second, there is the tree of life. John gives us a second observation. He says that on either side of the river was the tree of life. Do you remember the tree of life? Yes. According to Genesis chapter 2, in the Garden of Eden, there was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the center of the garden. Before Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they could have fully eaten from the tree of life. But after disobeying and falling into sin, they were banished from Eden, and the cherubim and a flaming sword guarded the way to the tree of life so that they could not able to eat and live forever in their sinful state. John now sees the multitude of the tree of life growing along the river of the water of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, the new crop every month, which signifies the abundance of God's new creation. John then makes an interesting observation concerning the leaves of the tree of life. He says, the leaves are for the healing of the nations. The Greek word that is translated healing is the word from which we get our English word therapeutic. Healing here does not mean healing of diseases or illnesses, which no longer exist in heaven. Rather, it means that we will be fulfilled with more abundant life in the New Jerusalem, filled with God's presence. Heaven is the place where the sins and curses of Genesis are resolved. Humanity after Adam and Eve lost paradise because of sin, but it'll eventually be restored. As the multitude of the tree of life implies, New Jerusalem will be a place of much, much greater glory than the Garden of Eve. Garden of Eve had only one tree of life, but New Jerusalem, multitude of the tree of life. Third, there is the throne of God and the Lamb. John goes on to tell us that the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the New Jerusalem, meaning God the Father and Jesus Christ will reign throughout eternity. God will continue forever as the sovereign ruler of the heavens and the earth. And the saints of God will be his servants and serve him. What type of service will we render to our God? The word translated serve in this verse 3 is a word that carries with it the idea of worship. Worship. In heaven, we only doing worship, praising God. Our service to God on his throne in the New Jerusalem will be an act of worship. This service will be one of great joy and not burdensome. Instead, we will delight in serving the Lord in worship throughout eternity. So let's practice to worship the Lord. Enjoy our worship every time we gather in this place. Not only will we serve God and the Lamb on their throne, but John informs us that we, his servants, will see his face finally. Because we have become perfectly holy and righteous in our glorified state, we will be able to gaze on the glorious face of God, our Creator, our Savior, the sovereign Lord of all things. The Lord told Moses in Exodus chapter 33, verse 20, "You cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live." Moses was only allowed to see the back of God as God passed before him. But that will not be the case in eternity. In heaven, we as his saints will have access at all times to his presence. No emotions so far from you. John says that God's name will be written on Redeemer's foreheads to show who they belong to. And they will reign with the Lord forever and ever. In verse 5, John again repeats the fact that there will be no longer be any night. The glorified saints will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, because God himself will be the light of the city. Braden, are you excited? Like last Sunday? Thank you. I'm excited with you too. Wonderful. Now, we will look at the second part of the scripture in verses 12 through 21, the epilogue of the book. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, right after the fall of Adam and Eve, God promised a coming Savior, one who would redeem his people from their sins and free them from Satan. Paradise with the tree of life was lost throughout when Adam sinned. But God's amazing plan of redemption was gradually unfolded throughout Scripture. And the tree of life reappears in the book of Revelation, which concludes with words of blessing that comfort and strengthen the hearts of all believers. Here, three times in the final section of this passage, Jesus announces his return. "Behold, I am coming quickly," we read in verse 7. In verse 12, he states, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done." And in verse 20, we once again read, "He who testifies to these things say, behold, I am coming quickly." If the concluding verses of the entire 66 books of the Bible repeat Lord's coming three times, we should be all ears and pay particular attention to what he says. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ could be at any times, at any moment. And the last trumpet of the church will sound, and we will go to meet the Lord in the air. Not today, though. John speaks for all true believers when he responds in verse 20. "Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." The early Christians used this expression, "Come, Lord," or "Maranatha," Aramaic word meaning "Come, Lord," as a regular prayer throughout the year. Why did the early Christians regularly use this watchword, "Maranatha," "Come, Lord"? This prayer is related to the Lord's prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. "Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come." It must have been a great comfort and strength for first century Christians who were living in severe persecutions and suffering, that the Lord's presence and his kingdom was coming in the midst of them. "Your kingdom come in our midst." That's Maranatha. That's the prayer they pray every day. I believe that the prayer that needs to be restored to us in today's era, where God's peace is desperately needed, is the prayer of Maranatha. "Come, Lord, in our midst." We are living in a very, very difficult time these days, but we must not lose our focus on God's kingdom is constantly expanding at this moment. At this moment, God is working somewhere and here with us. Therefore, I hope whenever we witness the scene of suffering, we should pray, "Maranatha, come, Lord, come for those who are suffering and are in tribulation. Come, Lord, in the midst of the Uvalde community where grieving and mourning prevails. Come, Lord, to the people of Ukraine who have been suffering with an unprovoked war for more than 3 months. Come, Lord, Maranatha, in the midst of our worship service in this holy place. And bless each one of us with your unceasing resurrection grace. Come, Lord Maranatha, to those hearts still tormented by the wounds and pains and hurts of the past. Come and heal our hearts and minds and proclaim that our Lord's ever-present kingdom is within us. Amen. As we close the last chapter of the book of Revelation, we must first have a clear vision of heaven for ourselves. We must also help those around us to have this vision of heaven. People of this world may tell you to live for a world that suffers rather than heaven. But those with a true vision of heaven will not waste time in this world, but will live a creative and fruitful life as we prepare to meet the Lord at any time. Let us pray. Dear Lord God, as I anticipate your Son's return, I glorify your name for your precious reassurance that your word is faithful and true, and that you have promised to return one day soon to take us to live with yourself forever, where all tears will be wiped away and all our sadness will be turned into joy. Praise your name for this blessed assurance. Amen. Let us rise to sing the closing hymn, Marching to Zion. Aren't you glad the Revelation lectionary scripture is the last day? Today is the last one. I see all of you up there around the tree of life and the river of the water of life. Wonderful, wonderful. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Trust the Spirit's power. Go as witnesses of the risen Lord. Christ ascended to bring us eternal life. Surely bring us eternal life. Amen. Worship is over. Have a wonderful long weekend holiday. Enjoy your time.